The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. And we're going to start with another blog from Ursula Le Guin's book, No Time to Spare. This is called Catching Up, Ha Ha, and it's from October 2014. It's been 2 months since I blogged. Considering that I am on the eve of my 85th birthday and that anyone over 75 who isn't continuously and conspicuously active is liable to be considered dead, I thought I should make some signs of life, wave from the grave, as it were. Hello out there. How are things in the land of youth? Here in the land of age, they are rather weird. The weirdness includes being called a liar by Hugh Woolley, the famous self-publisher of How, because I was rude to Amazon.com, the famous philanthropic organization dedicated to supporting publishers, encouraging writers, and greasing the skids of the American dream. Various other weirdnesses have arisen in my life as a writer, some quite enjoyable. But the important and dominant weirdness of life this autumn consists of not having a car, a condition that, to a lot of people, is the American nightmare. We do have our nice Subaru, but we can't drive it. I never could. I learned to drive in 1947, but didn't get a license, for which I and all who know me are grateful. I'm one of those pedestrians who start to cross the street, scuttle back to the curb for no reason, then suddenly leap out in front of your car just as you get into the intersection. I am the cause of several near accidents and a great deal of terrible swearing. It's awful to think that I might have done with an automobile. In any case, I don't drive. And since August, sciatic pain from stenosis keeps Charles from driving and from walking much at all. I can walk. I have the same thing he has, fortunately, much less severely. But after a few blocks, I go lame on the left hind. We're 10 steep blocks from our co-op market, so we've lost the liberty of our legs, or the car gave us to pop out and give us what we need when we need it. It's a wonderful freedom, much missed. I've had to go back to the routine of my childhood, when we did the shopping once a week. No running down to see what looks fresh and good for dinner, or to pick up a quart of milk. Everything has to be planned ahead, and you write it down. If you don't get the cat litter on Tuesday, well, you don't have any cat litter until next Tuesday, and the cat may have some questions for you. There's no hardship about shopping this way. In fact, I look forward to it, since my friend Mo takes me and is a really good, intense shopper who notices bargains and things. But still, it's tiresome always having to think about it instead of just doing it. Just do it. The modern motto for those who run 20 miles every morning in swish-covered shoes, the mantra of undelayed gratification. Yeah, well, Charles and I do better with si se puede, or with Gaelic philosophy, on y arrive. As for doctor's appointments, one of the finest paradoxes of senility is that the oftener you have to go to the doctor, the harder it is to get there. And haircuts. Now I know how the world looks to those little dogs with their bangs all over their eyes. It looks hairy. All in all, the main effect of being inordinately old and careless is that there's even less time to do things other than what has to be done than there was before. Keeping up with answering letters and writing blog posts and getting the books in the basement organized and a whole slew of things like that all get put on the back burner, which may or may not be functioning, as we have had the stove since 1950. But you know, they don't make stoves like that anymore. Now for an article from the Essential Retirement Guide. Live well on less than you think. And this one is entitled, Downsizing versus Staying Put. Should you stay put or should you go? For many retirees and pre-retirees, moving into a smaller house can be a natural and positive step. The kids are gone, leaving behind empty bedrooms and boxes of unneeded stuff. What's the point of paying for all that space if much of it is collecting dust? Indeed, there are good reasons to consider downsizing as retirement approaches, including the fact that it provides a chance to simplify and declutter your life. If you move into a smaller house, you'll have less space, so moving provides an excellent opportunity to decide what's really worth hanging on to. You may find that you don't actually need or have a strong attachment to a surprising amount of your possessions, including furniture, appliances, clothes, books, and items relating to your adult children. You may also find that you can do with one car rather than two or more, and getting rid of a vehicle could bring significant annual savings. Plus, it's one less thing you'll need to worry about. With careful planning, downsizing can make life more manageable while also saving you extra money. Those savings can help make this approach part of a comprehensive plan that allows for an early or partial retirement. But before you make the leap, it's important to consider the following ramifications. Housing costs. The prospect of paying less for housing is often a primary motive for downsizing. Trading your $500,000 five-bedroom home for a $300,000 two-bedroom home frees up a lot of money for everyday expenses, travel, and other costs. If you invest some or all of that money, you'll see even greater profits in the long run. What's more, couples who have used a home as their primary residence for at least two of the past 5 years can exclude up to $500,000 in capital gains from their income. Single filers can exclude up to $250,000. Because this gain is tax-free, more of the income you generate from downsizing can go to work for you right away. Remember that not all gain will be profit. You may have to pay your real estate agent up to a 6% commission. Moving costs. Relocating is often expensive. Hiring a moving company can be a significant expense, especially if you're headed to a distant state or to another country. For example, the average moving company cost for a move from Florida to California, or vice versa, was $4,047, according to data collected by My Moving Review. You may also face other smaller costs that can add up. For example, you might face charges from utility companies to open or close accounts, and you'll almost certainly need to buy at least a few new things to set up your new place. Your own travel costs can add up as well. Be sure to factor in all of these expenses when determining the cost of a move. Taxes. Depending on where you live now and where you're considering living, state tax differences could provide a major incentive or disincentive to relocate. For example, if you move to a smaller, less expensive home in a state with higher property taxes, your savings will be less dramatic than they would be if you had stayed in state. Consider all state and local taxes, including income, sales, property, and estate taxes before moving. Some states, like Florida and Texas, don't have an income tax. Others, like Oregon and Montana, don't have sales tax. Still, other states offer senior-specific tax breaks that will come in handy or exempt Social Security benefits and other forms of retirement income from their income taxes. For more on important tax considerations, see how important are taxes when deciding whether to move. And this is on another page in this magazine. We'll get to it another time. Cost of living. Everyday expenses, like groceries and transportation, can vary widely from place to place, and even slightly higher costs can add up to lower utility bills. Let me start that paragraph again. Everyday expenses, like groceries and transportation, can vary widely from place to place, and even higher costs can add up over the long run. Downsizing often leads to lower utility bills, but this is not always the case. For example, if you're moving to a place with a hotter climate, you may end up paying more for air conditioning. The cost of health insurance and car insurance is another important factor to consider. Lifestyle. Downsizing offers an opportunity to move to a place that better suits your lifestyle. Many people want greater access to the outdoors, whether that means the ocean, mountains, or a state or national park. Others put a premium on access to cultural resources, such as live music, museums, and restaurants. The locality's response to the pandemic is another important concern. When contemplating a move, be sure to weigh these considerations against other factors, such as weather and proximity to friends and family. You might think you want to live at the beach, but if it means putting up with triple-digit temperatures for several months of the year and seeing your family less, is the beach lifestyle really worth it? The option to rent. While many homeowners are reluctant to give up the satisfaction of owning their own place, there may be substantial benefits to renting rather than buying, especially when making a big move. After all, renting is less of a risk than buying, and it allows you to change your mind more easily if your new location doesn't work out. Consult your financial advisor to discuss whether renting might make sense for you. Staying put in retirement offers many advantages, including avoiding the stress and upheaval that comes with moving somewhere else. Remaining in a comfortable and stimulating social circle can also be a strong enticement to stay. If you want to downsize, do your research first and give yourself the best chance at sticking your landing. We have two pro tips with this article. One, while states with no income tax, like Nevada and Florida, may draw retirees, consider that they may have relatively high property taxes. And also, when making a long-distance move, it may make more sense to rent a place to live before buying, so you can find the best fit for your needs. And on to an article from AARP, the magazine, Healthy You. Check your GI Joe and Jane. 7 unexpected ways a well-nourished gut can make you stronger, fitter, and happier. And this is by Clint Carter. Think about the last delicious thing you ate. Chances are, no matter how enjoyable the meal, once it found its way over the teeth and past the gums, you pretty much forgot about it. Once it's in your belly, it's out of sight, out of mind. But what happens to that meal in the next 24 to 72 hours or so will have an enormous impact on your health. That's when smooth muscles push food bits through 30 feet of living drain pipe as acids and enzymes melt these particles into sludge, while a bacchanalia of microbes convert them into chemicals that power your brain, muscles, and immune system. Subtle changes in gut health can have a powerful effect on how you look and feel, says Megan Rossi, a research fellow at King's College London and the author of Love Your Gut. Research has linked dysbiosis, an imbalance of gut bacteria, to more than 70 chronic illnesses. Fortunately, the solution to almost any gut problem is simple. Build each meal around fiber-rich foods, such as fruits, vegetables, beans, seeds, nuts, and whole grains. These foods provide outstanding nutrition, not only for you, but also for your microbiome, the medical term for the massive, diverse community of bacteria living and working within your digestive system. And while it's best to get your fiber from food sources, a fiber supplement can help you reach your goals. However, only non-fermenting gel-forming fiber, such as psyllium husk, have been clinically approved as beneficial. Here's what you'll get from feeding your bacteria well. 1. You'll lose weight. Researchers constantly see different types of gut bacteria living inside thin and overweight people. One example, when researchers in Italy assigned 20 obese women, average age 79, to a low-sugar Mediterranean diet with 30 grams of daily fiber from vegetables, they saw a spike in bacteria associated with weight loss and a drop in bacteria related to obesity. Not surprisingly, the women lost an average of 2.7% of their body weight in 15 days. 2, you'll get stronger. If your gut lining becomes inflamed from an imbalanced microbiome, it becomes porous, what's known as a leaky gut. Bacteria that are supposed to remain locked inside your intestines can enter the bloodstream and kick up inflammation in your gut lining and other body tissues, undermining your muscular strength. When researchers at Wake Forest University put 288 people, ages 60 to 79, through a battery of simple fitness tests that included standing up from a chair and walking 400 meters, they discovered a direct correlation between gut leakage and muscular weakness. You'll think more sharply. Once in your bloodstream, microbes can be carried to your head. Then the brain has to mount an inflammatory response, explains Kylie Cavanaugh, an associate professor of pathology, comparative medicine at Wake Forest School of Medicine, and an author on the leaky gut study. Over time, that response can increase your risk of dementia. And bad gut bacteria can produce chemicals that directly hinder your ability to think. There's more nervous tissue in the GI tract than anywhere else in the body, aside from the brain, said Michael Pizzoni, MD, Chief of Gastroenterology at the University of Pittsburgh's UPMC Mercy. So, some bacterial byproducts can make you feel foggy. 4, you'll sleep better. Recently, 474 people, ages 18 to 94, filled out sleep questionnaires. Then they submitted stool samples. Researchers found that participants with more microbiome diversity slept more deeply than did those with less. Another study showed that people with microbiome diversity fall asleep faster and perform better on cognitive tests, such as you would expect from rested brains. You'll ease belly woes. According to the Cleveland Clinic, some people may be helped by taking probiotics through diet or supplements. The common name for active bacteria or yeast that help break down food in the gut. Probiotics seem to help, these researchers say, with diarrhea, constipation, inflammatory bowel disease, irritable bowel syndrome, yeast infections, urinary tract infections, and even gum disease. The National Institutes of Health notes that there is some evidence that probiotics may be helpful in treating acute diarrhea or diarrhea associated with the use of antibiotics in adults. If you're thinking about taking one of these popular supplements, medical experts advise you to talk to your doctor or other health care provider. 6, you'll catch fewer colds. 2/3 of the body's immune cells live in and around the gut, and they take cues from the microbiome, says Dawn Bowditch, a professor of molecular medicine at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. As gut microbes change with age, some of that immune education starts to fall apart. changes in the microbiome offer a partial explanation for why older people are more susceptible to common colds and viral infections. And finally, number 7, you'll just plain feel better. After studying the microbiomes of more than 2,100 people, researchers in Belgium and the Netherlands found that symptoms of depression were highest among people with depleted levels of two key bacterial strains, Dialister and Copococcus. But fiber can help. When researchers assigned moderately to severely depressed people to 12 weeks of either counseling or eating a plant-based Mediterranean diet, those in the diet group were 4 times more likely to see a significant emotional improvement. The author of this, Clint Carter, writes for Men's Health and other wellness publications. Now, also from AARP, the magazine, under Healthy You, looking out for yourself. Follow this do-it-yourself vision plan to take better care of your eyesight at home. The pandemic hasn't been good for our eyesight. It's not just the amount of time we're spending staring at computer screens. As we pared back our doctor visits, eye care was one of the first priorities to be slashed. There were an estimated 44% fewer ophthalmology visits and procedures done in 2020 compared with 2019, one of the biggest dips for any medical subspecialty, according to analysis from Strata Decision Technology. That's a potential problem. The eyes are built to last a long time for some of us, said Stephen Christensen, MD, chief ophthalmology at Boston Medical Center. But they need care. So as the global COVID-19 crisis heads into its second year, here are some steps you can take today to protect your eyes and equip your home in a vision-friendly way. By the front door, comfortable walking shoes. Keep it moving, people. Low to moderate exercise for as little as 3 hours per week is associated with as much as a 41% lower likelihood of developing age-related macular degeneration, AMD. A meta-analysis in the American Journal of Ophthalmology found. In addition, a study of those diagnosed with glaucoma showed that taking an extra 5,000 steps a day slows the rate of vision loss by 10%. Exercise reduces your risk of high blood pressure and diabetes, diseases that damage blood vessels that nourish the eyes, which can eventually compromise your vision or lead to blindness. A great pair of sunglasses. UV light from the sun can damage the proteins in the lens of the eye, contributing to cataract formation. You need protection even in January. Wear sunglasses in the summer and winter, whether it's cloudy or sunny, even in the car, advises Stephanie Marino, MD, clinical spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Choose the right ones by buying a pair with 100% UV or UV-400 protection, according to the sticker on the lens. You'll find them at all prices. I've even seen these at discount dollar stores, she says. The AAO also recommends oversized sunglasses for maximum coverage. If you wear glasses but don't want to buy a separate pair of prescription sunglasses, a money-saving option is clip-on shades that attach to your existing frame. These can be purchased online for as little as $25. In the garage and yard, sturdy safety goggles. Whether you're drilling or sawing or just mowing your lawn, you'll want to wear eye protection. It doesn't take much, a shard of metal or a wood splinter, to lodge in your eye and cause an injury that could have been avoidable. Make it a habit to pop on a pair of well-fitting safety goggles or protective glasses when doing any kind of work like this, inside or out. In the bedroom, an Amsler eye chart. While an at-home test isn't a substitute for an in-person comprehensive eye exam, you can use it to monitor how your eyes are doing. This chart is a grid with a black dot in the center. the Amsler Grid is an extremely helpful tool for patients with age-related macular degeneration. And AMD is one of the leading causes of vision loss and has no cure. But with proper treatment, its progress can be significantly slowed. Taking the at-home test can help you detect if there's a change in one eye. You can alert your doctor accordingly. The chart is available at macular.org/Amsler, AMSLER hyphen chart. In the bathroom, artificial tears. Tear production naturally diminishes as you get older. The problem is tears are what keep the conjunctiva, the thin membrane on the surface of the eye, moist. Once this membrane becomes dry, it loses its protective function, and the result is inflammation. Your eyes may become watery as your body tries to overcompensate for the dryness. For most patients, over-the-counter artificial tears are all that's needed. Eye drops with preservatives tend to be much cheaper, but some people find they cause irritation. Preservative-free eye drops are often packaged in single-use vials. Try both to see which works best for you. And finally, COVID-19 in your eyes. SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, typically infects you via your mouth and nose, but your eyes might also be a portal. Research has found that viral particles can land on the conjunctiva, the clear tissue covering the white part of your eye, and begin to replicate. In small proportion of patients, conjunctivitis, pink eye, can be one of the earliest signs of COVID-19. Be on the lookout for associated symptoms like a fever, and be careful around others. Tears themselves can be infected with the virus. After blotting eyes, properly dispose of any tissues, and yes, wash your hands again. If you're at especially high risk areas such as a hospital, it might be worthwhile to invest in a pair of protective goggles. Be sure to wash them after each use. A quick item about money. Times to pay with paper. You're pinching pennies. Studies have found that people tend to spend more when using cash. Or spend less when using cash. Opening your wallet and handing over cash is a bit more painful than just swiping plastic, says Sophia Onong, Associate Professor of Consumer Economics at the University of Georgia. Actually, people use cash 26% of the time, says the Federal Reserve. And another time we'll talk about more ways to save by using paper. We've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.